Hafaday, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
He didn't die to just leave us alone. He rose again to be in us.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the pastor of Harvest Baptist Church, and our speaker for Heart of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest, that these messages from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. As we continue our year-long study on who Christ is, Pastor returns to the book of John, and we see the meaning of Christ's statement, "I am the Good Shepherd."
Last week we read John chapter 10, 1 through 10. We talked about Jesus saying, "I am the door." And then John chapter 10, 11, really on through the rest of the chapter, Jesus used the metaphor, ties that I'm the door, to I am the Good Shepherd. Let's read John chapter 10, 11 through 18. "I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth a wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is a hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the Good Shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." He said in verse 28, "I give unto them eternal life. They'll never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." I'm thankful that as he is the Good Shepherd, the point is he's our guide, he's our protector, he's our security, and we're going to look at that today. When Jesus now in John chapter 10 is standing, as we looked last week, there in the temple, whether it was again earlier time or whether it was a few months later, when he now makes the statement, "In the winter time, I'm the Good Shepherd," they didn't have to have an explanation about what a shepherd does in sheep because they were all among the culture of those people. In the New Testament, these three terms, I encourage you to jot them down because they're rich with meaning that we don't have time to go over, but the primary descriptions was this one, that he's a good shepherd. In other words, he died for us. When he said, "I'm the good shepherd," he attached that in this context of John 10, when he continually made the statement, "I lay down my life, I lay down my life, I lay down my life." We know it's just a short time later, that's exactly where he was headed, to the cross, because the good shepherd attached itself, understanding he was willing to die. But later you end up finding a second New Testament term, and you find it when he, known of Jesus, is said he's the great shepherd. He's not just the good shepherd, he's the great shepherd. In other words, it says he lives for us. You find that in Hebrews 13, 20 to 21. "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant." This New Testament writer in Hebrews is saying he's not just the good shepherd, he's the great shepherd. In other words, he's living for us. The term good has the idea of honest or true. The idea of great shepherd has the idea of extent or comprehension. It's not just that he's the true, honest, "I am the good shepherd," but also, "I am the great shepherd." It's all about what I've done. Not just that I'm dying for you, I'm living for you. Or in other words, he didn't die to just leave us alone. He rose again to be in us. It's a mystery. But understand the power and importance of not just he's the good shepherd, he's the great shepherd. But you end up finding in the New Testament, thirdly, he also says, it says of Jesus, he's the chief shepherd. It's the idea that he not only died for us and lives for us, but he rewards us. 1 Peter 5:4 says it this way, "When the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." Let me put this together in one paragraph because this is like doctrine to you, but incredibly important. Well, in other words, as the good shepherd, he dealt with the penalty of sin. That's why he said, "I laid down my life," and he was foreshadowing just a few weeks later when he's now going to face the cross. That was going to break the penalty of sin, and when you take him as your Savior, there is no more guilt and shame for that penalty. And in addition to that, as the great shepherd, he deals with the power of sin. It's not just he came to save you, but he came to live in you and give you power to conquer death, sin, and the grave. He doesn't want to be as your shepherd, one in which, okay, he's put you into his fold. You're no longer anything other than a shepherd, that you have your sheep. But then he wants to empower you to lead you and give you that ability, not just to live a Christian life, but to live above and beyond, to be able to have his life you're living. We've talked much about that, but ultimately, he as the chief shepherd is also coming to take us away from the very presence of sin. You don't have to live here any longer. Our world is broken, it's dark, and it needs help. It needs a Savior. Now, if you understand all of that, you've done very well. Good job, class. Everything I've said to you would reinforce things you hear here about the importance of understanding who you are and who he is as a shepherd. I thought I'd take a moment and help you understand not only he is the great shepherd, the good shepherd, the chief shepherd, who he really is. And all of this, again, Jesus, using this as a metaphor, as a picture, as so often he did, had strong allusions back to Psalms 23. If you have your Bibles, turn there. And I want to take just a moment. I just want to highlight a couple of observations because he is the great shepherd. What about us as sheep? Why do we need a shepherd? Why do we need a shepherd? I mean, okay, we're sheep. All through Scripture, we're identified as sheep. Fact is, in the Old Testament, that Israel is constantly being a metaphor attached to a sheep, constantly. Moses as a shepherd, Abraham who was a shepherd, and of course, David. Most of us don't have a lot of context with sheep and goats. When Jesus made the statement, it was very common. They instantly knew what he was talking about. Interesting enough, when you talk about goats and sheep, the Bible does refer to goats and sheep. When they're young, they evidently look very similar. At times, especially when they're born, you really can't tell a big difference whether that's a goat or a sheep. The older they get, the more you can begin to tell the difference, evidently in relationship to its wool versus the hair, as far as the horns are concerned. But in addition to that, it's interesting to know. Well, let me just read one quote off of one particular website. He says, "I've raised both," as this one author said, "and goats are much smarter than sheep. Sheep are really dumb." He went on to say, "Goats are smarter than sheep. Goats are more independent. Goats don't follow herd mentality. Goats browse instead of graze. Goats are more discriminatory about what they eat. Sheep group together when danger is high. Sheep will follow the behavior of a sheep in front of them, jumping over an object. Sheep can be led and are very trainable. Sheep find a place to graze and settle in. Sheep need someone to care for them." It's interesting to know when you think about sheep versus goats that later Jesus ended up using that very illustration. He said, "Someday I'm going to separate you as a believer, as unbelievers, as it is from the goats and the sheep." You see, in the day in which Jesus used the term that you are sheep, it really wasn't a derogatory term necessarily, but there was a whole lot of weaknesses and tendencies that he saw in mankind that he came to save as a great shepherd. And I want to look at three of those today. If you're taking notes, let me encourage you to do so. Let me give you three tendencies of a sheep and how a shepherd looks at that. Notice, if you would, because there's boatloads of these, and there's a number of great books. One I quoted by Dr. Rogers on Psalms 23, but there's another stellar book, really the ultimate. If you want to read anything about Psalms 23, you will end up referring to Philip Keller's book, A Shepherd's Look at Psalms 23. He himself, who had much background in the study of management and animals, he grew up in East Africa, and basically as a shepherd who also had a ranch, he took all of the observations over the years of sheep and put them into this stellar book. If you ever want any book on Psalms 23, this one is the one that anybody I know quotes and refers to. Out of all that, let me give you these three observations, and I think they'll be helpful, because the bottom line is, if you and I are like sheep and we are left to ourselves, naturally we're going to be unprotected, we're going to be disease-infested, and we're going to wander. We're going to be exposed as creatures, and that's why God says you're just like a sheep. Psalms 23, we don't have time to go through the whole text, but the first four verses very simply identify that a sheep, they need to be led. That's why he said, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. When I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil because you're with me. There's this whole context that, number one, if you're taking notes, understand that sheep are dumb and defenseless. They're not smart. They're less than intelligent. You find that in Psalms, in the reference in Psalms 100, verse 3. Know ye not the Lord, he's God? It is he that has made us, not we ourselves. We have nothing of ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. And even Jesus later in his earthly ministry quotes in Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. As one author noted, quote, lions bite, tigers claw, bears crush, mules kick, snakes strike. But the short, weak leg muscles combined with bad eyesight and dwarfed horns provide no defense for sheep against the speed, strength, and agility of wolves and mountain lions, their primary predators. And that's why Jesus said, contrasted, I'll lay down my life if I have to protect you. What a wonderful picture that he is our protector. If you understand that we are so vulnerable to spiritual attack, and just as sheep, dumb and defenseless, Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd, you're the sheep. With sheep, they're flocking animals. They don't end up spreading out, as goats are highly independent till the day they die. Now, they have a tendency, they can pull together temporarily, but unlike sheep that end up having a natural tendency to pull together. For predators to come towards them, they'll end up facing that predator. But if the predator attacks, you know what the sheep do? They scatter. Philip Keller tells us in his stellar book of a time in which his sheep were out in the pasture. He said in one night on another man's pasture, there was 372 sheep killed in one night by a pack of wolves. They'll devastate a flock just like that. He said he found with his own flock, and he was out there, they were settled, they were secure. They saw him, they heard him with his rifle. You understand that it is so critically important that we are dumb and defenseless. You have nothing to protect yourself from spiritual attack.
Thank you for listening in to today's message with Pastor Marty Heron on Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries, located on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can always write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921, or call area code 671-477-6341. That number once again, 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website at hbcguam.net, where you'll find a podcast of today's program. That's hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening in, and be sure to join us at this same time tomorrow for the next edition of Heart of Harvest.